Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited to bring you another message of grace, another lesson in the Word of God rightly divided in the King James Bible, which is the authorized version for the English-speaking language, people, I should say. But we are excited that spring has sprung. It's a little wet out there. But anyway, what they say... I just want to know if March is going to go out like a lion or out like a lamb. And I know people's having storms all over the country right now. I think we're expecting to have some winds and storms, and it's supposed to drop down in temperature wise. But, you know, when you live in the Ohio area, and you got to expect that weather changes every 5, 10, 15 minutes around here. So anyway, just... keep that in thought and prayer that it is another beautiful day. If you think about when you're in Christ Jesus, you can just be who you are, and knowing that there's life in you, there's light in you, and it's despite of a dark and gloomy world, let the light of Christ shine in you. Got a couple announcements. Dispensation Bible Church is a part of Ohio Grace Ministries. And we have signed a contract with Salt Fork Park Lodge, which is not too far from here, for the 2022 Ohio Grace Ministries Bible Conference. We are excited about that. I know we had to cancel the 2021 at the Amish Door, and then the 2022, they was having other conferences there or meetings there. So we had to make a decision that we was not going to have it one this year. And I know it broke a lot of hearts, broke a lot of kids' hearts, because the kids loved coming. And when they love to come, that's a good thing. But keep in mind, we have a whole year to plan and get you in the reservation system there. And there's some things that you probably need to know as we get closer to get a few discounts and that type of thing. So great news, we nailed down a place. It's a little bit more expensive for people that's staying there, but you're looking at the largest state park in Ohio, and there's going to be all kinds of things to do there. But main thing, you're going to be hearing the Word of God rightly divided. Amen. You know, and you'll be around a lot of saints that would love to see you, and see, they might even love to see me, I don't know. But anyway, love to see each other in the Word of God. We did have to downsize our speakers in a way, so I apologize in advance that if, I'm not so much apologizing, but we're going to have some great speakers and messages to be the same and all. So anyway, just disregard that last thing. But we are excited for that. Keep in thought and prayers. We have some preacher friends of ours that are having some health issues. We are getting older. Our body is breaking down. Our mind is, sometimes it can wander. Our heart situation, our health situation. But you know something? When you're saved, when you know Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried and rose again, He promises us to change this vile body. And that's our hope. And one day we're going to get out of this body, and we're going to have a glorious body, fashioned like His glorious body. Whether it's a 33-year-old male body, I can remember when I was 33 years old, I was pretty fit. I thought, yeah, well, I'm soon to be 60, and I think I'm still kind of fit, but this is going to be something totally different, something out of this world, you know, this body will be. So we are, let me look at something right quick, make sure we're online here. Yep. So I do apologize for that. My wife keeps saying, why do you keep doing, well, technology. And when it fails you, you need to be on top of it. So, as I was saying about bodies, okay, as we're here on this earth, we still need to take care of our body, because if God, who saved you, is living inside of you, you're mobile, you're moving around. So, keep keep the people in thought and prayers that have issues today. I know many of us do, whether it's just all kinds of issues, work related, finances related, family related. You know, we just sometimes some of you still may be in a lockdown mode that's still affecting you. And so we lift you up in prayer and all. And let's go to the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And we ask as we think about our loved ones and our fellow laborers and in the word and our brothers and sisters and many other people, that we lift them up to you. And you tell us by doing that, it brings us peace. And that's the thing that we need in this world today, is just a peace that you can bring to us. And Father, as we think about this lesson today, let us be mindful of who we are in Christ. Let us just relax and let the word says what it means and mean what it says, and just breathe. And just knowing that you are in control of the things that you've given us today in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 3. And just remember, I'll put this up here so you can remember. We are in lesson 3. And next week, I think it's Resurrection Day, Resurrection Weekend. And so we may be on a remote location, but we'll let you know where we're at. If we do something, most likely we will, whether it's looking at each other, wishing everybody a happy Resurrection Day, or if you know me and know dispensational teachings, usually you just stay right with the lesson, because every day we celebrate Resurrection Day, okay? Because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ dying, and everybody dies, everybody's buried, but when he got resurrected, that is life, okay? And he conquered death. So just keep that in mind as we go through this week. And it's a day that's set aside for Resurrection Sunday. And we should honor that as Bible-believing Christian people. So as we think about Lesson 3, the Bible means what it says and says what it means. That's what you've got to think about this, okay? Also, the Bible is understood by comparing verse with verse to get the meaning. You compare verses with verses. And then the issue is, what does the Bible say? What does it teach? It teaches it to rightly divide the word of truth. And and when we went over how to rightly divide the word of truth, we talked about the fact that dispensationalism is the approach to take when you're studying the Bible. That's why we call ourselves Dispensational Bible Church. I know it's 5 syllables, dispensational. And I know it's might be a hard word to understand sometimes. I remember when we went to the open up a checking account for a church, and she was like, "Dispen what?" You know, and I was like, "Dispensational." And then it opened up a conversation, because that's a God-breathed word that you find 4 times in your Bible, King James Bible, that is an inherent word of God, infallible word of God, and the other Bibles don't have that in there. So they take away the meaning. They take away what God is doing, and he's dispensing his word. And if you're going to understand the Bible, you have to rightly divide it. And to rightly divide it is the approach of dispensationally. You know, we went through the Bible in 7 hours taught. Now we're going through the fundamentals of dispensationalism, so you understand what God is doing, how he is dispensing his knowledge, his self, his mind, his what he wants us to do in the word. And everybody, if you think about it, is a dispensationalist to some extent. Whether you're Acts 2 dispensationalist, a lot of people think, let me explain this to you. In the Acts period, there's 3 types of usually people that hangs on to things. Acts chapter 2. Pentecost area. They say the body of Christ started there. That's era. That's an Acts 2 dispensationalist. Then you had the mid-Acts from 9 to 18-ish. That's mid-Acts. That's who we are. We believe the body of Christ started with Apostle Paul, and the dispensation of grace started with Apostle Paul. Then you get down to Acts 28 at the end of Acts. They say, well, the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 9, but the dispensation of grace, how God dispensed grace to the Gentiles, didn't start to Acts chapter 28. So you get all these dispensational views. So everybody is a dispensation from one degree or the other. Now, the two basic schools of thought are dispensationalism, like I just shared, and covenant theology. And covenant theology looks at everything at the same all through the ages, which produce amillennialists, postmillennialists, that type of thing. Amillennialists, what does that mean? No millennium. Ah, okay. Atheist, no God. Amusement, no thinking, that type of thing. So covenant theology does that. Many of you are into that now and maybe not even realize it. A lot of denominations follow that thinking. We look how to make distinctions in the scriptures by rightly dividing the word. And everybody thinks they know how to do that, don't they? If you think about it. And no one will say, I will teach you to wrongly divide the word. Nobody teaches that. And when you start to study in the word of God dispensationally, rightly dividing the word of truth, and you see some truths in this, and you're like, and you take it to your preacher or your teacher, they're going like, no, that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, that type of thing. This is, listen, you either rightly divide, you either wrongly divide, or you don't divide at all. And that's what a lot of them do. They will not divide the word of God, okay? And you need to, because 2 Timothy 2:15 instructs us to do that. And if the Bible tells you the scriptures are profitable for you, you know, when I mentioned about Welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, that's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, okay? God, scriptures are given for what? For doctrine, for profit, for reproof. Okay, the Bible's own way. How do you get profit out of the Word of God? Is the Bible's own way, and that's rightly dividing. And it thoroughly equips you. Then you ask the Bible, how is it going to equip you? Everybody talks about this Bible gives you everything you need, whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's raiment, or just all kinds of things. And how does it equip you? How do you get profit? How do you get doctrine? How do you get reproof out of the Word of God to keep you in line with what God's doing? And when you ask the Scriptures how you get the profit out of it, it will tell you to what? Rightly divide the Word of truth. One verse in your Bible tells you to do that. There's other verses we looked at in the past that talks about give you understanding, that type of thing. But you got to watch that word, because some of them say properly handling the Word of God. Okay? That type of thing. Excuse me?
Other versions.
Yeah, other versions says that. So you got to remember which version to use. So how do you get it? It tells you right divide. When you attempt to do that, and Paul is the one that tells you to do it, who would you go to figure out how to rightly divide the Word of truth? I know, your professor, right?
No.
Schofield, Larkins, books about the books about the books. No, if Apostle Paul, that God gave the knowledge to in the dispensation of grace, writes 13 epistles, he writes more books than any other writer in the Bible, okay? And he's writing it to you and me, our mail, how to get instructions out of the Word of God, it's going to allow you to understand what God is doing in times past, but now in ages to come. We will see that. And there's two basic passages in Paul's that gives the perspective of rightly dividing the Word of truth. And we need to understand these passages. Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5. And we're going to cover those a little bit, but Ephesians chapter 2. Let's do it now. And I know what you're saying, but don't say it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians is a book of doctrine about the advanced mystery truths, that God's going to show us some things in the ages to, but now, and leads us to the ages to come out there. But think about this for a minute. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then in verse 7 of the same chapter, you see that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. There's three basic divisions there. Verse 11, times past. Verse 13, but now. And what is true in times past has changed, but now there's a new way of doing it. You got to remember that. Okay? Times past, but now. And then verse 7, ages to come. What God's purpose to do in times past, he is going to do in the but now and the ages to come. He will accomplish both of those purposes. So what he's done in times past and what he's doing right now, he's going to accomplish over here in ages to come. Very simple. Now, in times past, you had two groups of people in the world. Okay? You had circumcision and you had uncircumcision. When you look at the time chart, when you look at the timeline, Brother Richard Jordan took the words off the page and put them on a chart for us. Okay? And this is the timeline of your Bible. I know you're looking at it like, what in the world? Can you read an atlas? Okay? You remember an atlas? A road map? Okay? You picked up the road map and said, I'm going to Chicago. Okay? And I can get to Chicago without going through Michigan, period. But anyway, I know I got some friends up there. I love you in Christ. But the thing is you don't open up the road map to go to Maryland, to go to Michigan, okay? And we used to say down home, we used to say all roads lead through Atlanta. It seemed like everything went through Atlanta. But in the Midwest, things go through Chicago. Your roads, it seems like everything goes in the Chicago area. So what I'm getting at, you open up the map and the atlas, and you found the roads that you're going to take, and sometimes you wrote them down so you have them at hand, and sometimes your co-pilot over there, your wife, would say, you're on the wrong road. And you're like, no, honey, I got it made. Just, that's a joke to tell you that men can't think. But anyway, you write it down, and you stay by the roads that you take. And today's the technology, many of you just pull it up, Google it, or whatever, maps, and just boom. Okay, it takes you that way. It also shows you different routes, don't it? And also, what I liked about technology today, it'll tell you if there's a road closure, okay? And you, sometimes in the old way, you didn't know that road was closed till you saw signs saying, road closed 5 miles, detour ahead. And you're like, oh my goodness, where I'm at? Many of us had CBs and we could talk to that thing. Technology has changed. That's a good thing. The Word of God never changes. Okay, that's a great thing. We have His Word. But as He put this together and He took the Word of God, we use this timeline to instruct people, a visual timeline to see it. Now, you can see it in your book. Okay, and I may show that, we'll get to that later on, but it's not hard to understand that it's past, present, and future. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that's not hard. We go through that all the time. And this is just studying the Bible dispensationally. And we're studying a timeline of the Bible and the way the Bible's laid out on the timeline. And Paul is divides it up saying God had a purpose in times past. He's got another purpose now. And he's got another purpose in ages to come that he's going to fulfill those purposes. That's awesome. It really is. Because, you know, you don't have to worry about what God's going to do tomorrow. You know, you don't have to worry about what he's going to do today. We have what he's doing. And the key to recognize when you are in time past and when you're in but now, what scriptures put you in ages to come. That's how we recognize the Bible. And we just acknowledge where God made those divisions. And when you do that, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible opens up. You know, it really does. And it don't change who. Once you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus, okay, today. And there's no other way to get to heaven or get to God the Father other than Jesus Christ. You know, there's Buddhas and Confucius and temples and all that stuff. They don't get you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? They don't do it. There's one way, and the way is through the cross, what Christ Jesus did. And once you believe that, you're sealed, saved, and sanctified. Then you got to get the knowledge. Then you get the Word of God inside of you the right way. And it's going to make a distinction and a difference in how you approach God. Okay? I was a type that, you know, did everything in the world trying to please God until I understood what pleases God. To have all men be saved. Pleases God is to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Please God is to have Him inside of you. Not that I'm going out here and doing all kinds of stuff for God. Now, is it good to do things for God? Yes. But I'm saying if you're doing that to please God outside of who He wants you in Christ Jesus, it's going to make you miserable. A lot of people just give up and just, you know, go about their own business because they feel like they let God down. You let yourself down. We let ourselves down all the time. Let's move on. That is the vision, that distinction between the periods. That threefold division is the basic division in Paul's approach to God's dealings. If you get the big picture, you may understand that every little detail of every verse, you don't have to understand it, okay? Every little detail, I'm saying. There's still things I'm trying to figure out. There's still things I want to know. Listen, 13 epistles of Paul, and every time you read them or go through them, you'll find something different. Something you're building on. I'm like, why didn't I say that before? That type of thing. I want to understand, till I take the dirt bath, understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace in His 13 epistles for you and I, so we can help each other until God takes us out of here. Once God takes us out of here, He's going to go to deal with ages to come over here, with Hebrews through Revelation. We're already out of here. Okay, but if you can understand what God is doing right now, this stuff right here will fall into place. Because you know what it is? You know what it's not. And that's what people don't want to acknowledge, knows what it's not, so they try to bring all this into what God is doing today, and they get confused. They get discouraged. Let's look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. See how Paul defines these time periods. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. So guess what? In times past, that's what it says, right? Remember that ye, when? Times past. Ye, the Ephesians, ye, us Gentiles, in time past, there was a distinction between the circumcision, that's what this top line is, and the uncircumcision. And the characteristics which is there are two groups of people, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. And this is a basic characteristic in times past. Basic. And when you find that in your Bible, that God's dealing with man on a basis of division and distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision, you should immediately understand what time period you are in the Bible. Verse 12. That at that time, what time is that?
Time passed.
What time?
Time passed.
Time passed. Not but now. Times past. Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Is that a good thing or bad thing? Now, all through history, if you pick up a history book, you can see this group of people down here, Gentiles, uncircumcised, what God they followed. Okay? Who they were opposite of who God made Israel to be. See? You can find that stuff. Building pyramids, worshiping gods, that type of thing. Find that today, don't you? Yeah. That the God of this world's still working. Okay? And when... So, think about that. When Jesus Christ came in his earthly ministry, what books were they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those Gentiles, the uncircumcision, were still without Christ. And why? Why were they still without Christ? Because they were aliens and from the commonwealth of Israel. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, us Gentiles were still aliens from them. You had Israel, circumcision. You had uncircumcision, Gentiles, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I know a lot of people, you're like, I don't understand that. I thought Jesus came for everybody. You don't find that out till you get to Paul over here, okay? He shed his blood for many. You don't find out till he shed his blood for all till you get to Paul. And strangers from the covenants of promise. God had made those people of the circumcision some promises, a covenant. A covenant of a contractual agreement that they had to uphold. Having no hope. The man of the circumcision had hope in time past. Right here, started with this man right here. And he was looking for a hope over here. Okay? There wasn't no hope right here.
Didn't know about it.
Okay? It was hidden God. And we'll figure it, we'll see later as we figure out in ages to come who had the hope. Or had the hope. But God had never given the uncircumcision Gentile, okay, heathen. I found an old article that I reposted on a couple of groups. And it was an article in the War Between the States. This one guy deserted, joined the enemy, and came back and fought against the people that he deserted, and they called him. And as the article goes, it said he was an ignorant man and almost heathen. So people's like, almost heathen, you know. Well, the reason they found out he was almost heathen was the fact that when the preachers started talking with him, he had never understood the Bible, never knew who God Jesus Christ was. So before he died, he understood some things, so that he didn't die heathen, from my understanding. So God talks about through Paul about people heathen, don't he? Mm-hmm. That when they shook hands in Galatians chapter 2, and we'll get all of that into that later on, that Peter, James, and John would go to the circumcision, And Paul and Barnabas would go to the heathen. Anybody that was not into that little flock, including the Jews, the lost Jew, and the Gentile, are heathen, period. So all the promises and covenants were made with Israel when Christ came, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's still their promise over here. And he did not come to those people, the uncircumcision, those Gentiles. He came to the circumcision of the, or the Jews of Israel, period. So even therefore, you should know something, what time period you're in, and even when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, you're still in times past. There's still a distinction. And the reason that the Gentiles were without Christ and without God and without hope is because of that distinction. Way back over in Genesis chapter 11, God gave us up. God gave us up. God gave us over, okay, to our sin, okay? He gave the whole world up. Then he chose one person back here. And out of that one person, he made a distinction of all the races in the world, okay? And we're going to see some things throughout the Bible about that nation and how they was distinct. And in verse 14, Paul calls it a middle wall partition. God built a wall of distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. It was fortified by a law. See, this group of people up here was God's people, and he made a standard. And us people down here, we didn't have no standards. We was heathen, Gentiles, uncircumcised, without God. We was doing whatever we wanted to do in the nations that we had boundaries for. Some of you don't like borders. Well, God calls them boundaries. And he put boundaries so people to stay in there. And the Gentiles are on the outside and the Israelites on the inside of that. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There came a point in time when the distinction between the two groups of circumcision and uncircumcision was done away with. And God put the nation Israel aside and putting them on the same level as the Gentiles down here. That's why we're in but now. And the book of Acts explains the fall of Israel and the diminishing of Israel. And he sets them aside of their covenants and promises and stuff. Listen, you're not a covenant people. I may be jumping way ahead, but you're not. There wasn't a promise made to you and me and a covenant made to you and me. He concluded not only the Gentiles in unbelief, but Israel also in unbelief. And now he has concluded everybody in unbelief. And he's formed a church, the body of Christ today, in this time period that we call but now. And it's important to understand where that begins so you can understand what books in the Bible fits in that time frame. So in times past, circumcision, uncircumcision, Israel, Gentiles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But now you have the body of Christ, Romans through Philemon. Then the ages to come, you have the fulfillment of God's purposes, and that's Hebrews through Revelation. See those three distinctions? Many of you understand exactly what I'm talking about. My wife's going like this. Yeah, she knows. But now you have a purpose for times past, you have a purpose but now, and we move to ages to come. And there's things that God will do in the future that he had talked about in times past and what he's talked about but now. Perfect laid out. He's got a destination, okay? He starts here and ends here. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We have his word. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou, and thy seed after thee in thy generations, in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in their flesh for an everlasting what? Now we just read in Ephesians chapter 2 about circumcision in the flesh made by what? Hands. That represents God's covenant with that nation Israel up here. Verse 14. And this uncircumcised child whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He had broken my covenant. So they're going to do away with them. Push them out the camp. It's easy to see right there that when you're reading in the book of Genesis, God makes a distinction between who? Circumcision and who? The uncircumcision. And he makes a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles and says, if you want to be in my covenant, then you have to be circumcised with the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. That's a man did that. God told him to do it, okay? Circumcision, uncircumcision. And therefore, you should know something right there. What you know when you're reading the book of Genesis, what time period you're in. Are you 10 but now? Are you reading it as if you need to do that right now? Now, grant you, there's people that reads that and still applies that for today. Okay? They're in error. That book's Genesis belongs in times past. And in fact, you will find what we call the Old Testament is from Genesis to what? Malachi. Okay? That's what we call Old Testament. What? That's stay what? With me. Okay? So we know for a fact that's time past, right? Because your Bible says Old Testament. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld my son, thy only son, that in the blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed of the stars of heaven, and as the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my what? Voice. Now, where are the nations of the earth going to find blessings?
In Abraham.
Praying to other gods. Right? Where at? What did he say? In who? They have to go to Abraham's seed. Down here. You have to go to up here to get God's blessing. We're talking about God of the Bible, by the way. We're talking about the big G. We're talking about God the Creator. Not just any old God. And there was plenty out there. They have to go there. God is going to give them blessings to these people of Israel. Be turned to Deuteronomy chapter 4. That the circumcision and that the people, the Gentile nations, are going to get blessings. They have to get it from Israel. And they are the people that are near to God. The uncircumcised Gentiles are still separated from God. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who is God, hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Now, Ephesians chapter 2 told you Gentiles, were they nigh to God? They was far away from God. And verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, well, before you get that, you see what it said about, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them? Only one nation in the whole world had God nigh to them. And it was so not known that there was kings and other nations and stuff knew who Israel was. They knew not to mess with Israel. They had God with them. Look what he did when he brought them out of Egypt. All those plagues and stuff. Verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 2 says, but now in Christ Jesus ye who was sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. By the Christ. These people were already made nigh that we just read. You with me? So who was near God in times past?
Israel
was. And the Gentiles were separated away. So now you should know something else in your Bible study. When you're reading Genesis through Malachi, you're reading about the but now, right?
No.
No. Say no, preacher. You're reading about times past. So, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. When we get to Romans chapter 15, verse 8, things gets a little, can we say tense? Because you know the distinction over here, right? In Genesis through Malachi. You know for a fact that's times past. You know for a fact that God made a distinction between Israel and circumcised. You know for a fact it's Old Testament. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Where does Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John fit in this? And I know you turn past Malachi, and there's big letters in your Bible. It says New Testament. God didn't put that in there. Okay? The earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where does it fit in? God in the flesh, born of the virgin, came there. Romans chapter 15, verse 8, if you got the right Bible, says this. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, that verse says very clearly, and you should have your was underlined if you got the right Bible, the fact that it says Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. Now the New King James Bible, which is as full of eras. There's nothing new about it. And the New International Versions and many other versions say that Jesus has become a minister of the circumcision. Now, that's an error. There's a difference between was, and there's a difference between has become. Okay? And if it's true that the ministry has to fit back in times past, and you can can't trust New King James Bible or the International Bible to tell you the truth. No. See, they take things out. They add things too. That's a whole different study. You can go on our website and find different studies about different Bible versions and stuff. But Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, was a minister to the circumcision. And in his earthly ministry, did he make a distinction between the circumcision and uncircumcision?
Absolutely.
You better believe he did. Matthew chapter 10, it says, he tells his disciples, go not in the way of the Gentiles into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, 24, he told his disciples, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Very clear. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is an earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel only. He didn't come to us Gentiles down here. And I know it upsets a lot of people. What? You mean to tell me? Yes, God made a distinction. That distinction between Jew and Gentile, uncircumcision and circumcision, was still there. They had a 4-foot wall around that temple that a Gentile, if he entered that wall, it would meant death. Uncircumcised. They wouldn't touch you. And so he's to Israel only. And when you have God dealing with a man based on the distinction of between circumcision and uncircumcision, where are you at in the scriptures? If there's still a distinction, he says, I'm not, but the lost sheep has Israel, go not in the way of the Gentile. What time period are you still in?
Time past.
You're still in times past over here. So you cannot take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and apply it to your life today. And I said that you cannot, but people do. Okay? And it just causes confusion. And how do you know that? Because Ephesians chapter 2 told us that. And when you think about, when you read Ephesians chapter 2, that in times past, God deals with the circumcision and uncircumcision. So when you read Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Luke 13, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry dealt with people based on that distinction. Listen, it's not taking anything, it's not demeaning Jesus Christ as God's Son. That's the program he's in. He's not going to come up there and disrupt that. Hey, when John the Baptist was on this scene, he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's still a distinction. Did Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, walk up to John, get out of my way. That's not what we're doing today. No. Lord Jesus Christ fell right in line with what John was. That's why he was baptized into a kingdom of priests. That's why Jesus Christ was baptized, to be associated with a kingdom of priests so he can continue get into his priesthood. Prophet, priest, and king. He's got three positions that he's going to hold. But what I'm getting at, he did not differ from that. In fact, after John got his head cut off, Jesus Christ went straight and preached the same message. Repent. The kingdom of heaven's a hand. This is what you got to do. It's a hand. Then when he tells the 12 what to do, what do? Did they change the program? No. They're still in it. Therefore, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it fits in times past. And Jesus Christ dies on the cross at the end of each of those books. And he is resurrected and ascends into heaven. And the Holy Spirit comes on the little flock in the early part of Acts. And to answer the question on whether the things changed after resurrection. That's a good question. That's why, go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now you can say, well, he died, he was buried and rose again, so it changed there. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Okay? It didn't change, guys. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning where?
In Jerusalem.
Now, where is Jerusalem? Where is that?
Israel.
Where is it? Is it out your window right now?
No.
It's not out your window right now. That's not your Jerusalem, okay? Jerusalem is the great city of God in a country, in Israel. And you got to think about that. Jesus spoke to this in this passage. Neither was it Peter's hometown. Neither was James' hometown. Jerusalem was not Bartholomew's, John, James' hometown. Their hometowns were in the north of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the land of Palestine, people. And is Israel's land. It is the capital of the city, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. Listen, we took almost 2 years to go through the book of Matthew, and the book of Matthew portrays God, Jesus Christ as king. And he's going to sit on a throne. And it's the city of the great king. So the reason Christ sent them first to Jerusalem is because there was an issue had to first be pressed there in that city. What was they doing when they got there? One, the nation of Israel was corrupted. Two, they was under Roman Empire, they was under Roman jurisdiction. Okay? Three, they was like a bunch of heathen out there, apostated Israel. And in a post-resurrection commission, that distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision is still in place. I'm gonna move on just a little bit more. Back in Matthew through John, you have the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to Israel. And in the early part of Acts, the ministry goes not to Israel only. Now it's going to go to all men. But in Matthew through John, it first is Israel's first. They have to be fed first in order for you to feed somebody. Listen, you have to be fed in order to feed somebody. You ever been kind of hungry and you try to go help somebody? I have. I'm most miserable. I'm like this. But when you are fed, then you go out and you can go with a sound mind and a sound body and go out and help somebody. And it will be through Abraham's seed that the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now I'm going to end right there, okay? Because we're moving right here in the book of Acts. I'm going to show you some things next week. Lord willing, and the politicians don't rise, but that still this post-resurrection period in the early part of Acts is still times past. And that's why I said on the onslaught, You have three types of dispensationalists. You have an Acts 2 that believes the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2, but they don't acknowledge the distinction still there. Then you have mid-Acts, that's me, and many of you, hope soon to be more of you, started right here at the body of Christ. Then Acts 28 is a totally different other position. But you're going to see as we move, we're just going through this, but we're going to back up and go through it more instructively. But I'm just taking you through some things right now. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Once again, visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. There's a donate button there if you want to give towards the ministries. We do have some bills going on. Keep our saints in thought and prayer as we lift you up each day and each hour and each minute. Many of you, we're always thinking about you and the things that you're going through in life. Life seems not fair, okay? In man's world, it's a dog-eat-dog. But in the world that Jesus Christ has got us to be seated in heavenly places, it's a world without end. You know, it's going to be a glorious day. So visit there. Until next week, God bless you.